We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
All right, welcome in episode 113 of the podcast. Hogan Johns here from Tampa. An outcome I don't think we saw coming today. Well, Bears losing is one thing, but these were the losses, the kinds of losses the Bears were supposed to avoid in 2017. Adam Hogue, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com, that's where you can read our post-game columns, which are up for your enjoyment or displeasure, considering how this game went today. But man, this was bad. It was bad for John Fox. It was bad for Mike Glenn. And first and foremost, I think those two.
Yeah, use any word you want. Horrendous, abysmal, brutal. It all embodies what Mike Glennon was today on this football field. And I get why John Fox has to go out of his way to defend his quarterback, but a lot of it just, it's going to fall on deaf ears. Mike Glennon was really bad, and you have the number two overall pick sitting on the bench, who was pretty good in the preseason. So I know he's saying that there's no decision to be made here. Mike Glennon is his guy, but I would hope for his fan base that he at least entertains the decision, whether it's over a glass of wine or something. He has to think about this because Mike Glennon was not good today by any means.
Yeah, that's what I focused on in my postgame column, that John Fox's defense of Mike Glennon. I mean, to be honest, it sounds like he was watching a different game. Here's how we're going to do this. We're not going to hold back in this episode. I think we're at the point of the John Fox era that if you're going to be losing games 29-7, I mean, the whole thing this year was that you were going to be competitive. We all knew they might start 0-4. Maybe that was even likely. Maybe it still is likely, probably more likely now. But you weren't supposed to get blown out in a place where you got blown out last year. There's supposed to be some progress there. And right now it doesn't seem like there is progress. So here's how we're going to do this. We'll play you John Fox. It's short. It's about 3.5 minutes. But you're going to hear what he had to say and really his constant defense of Mike Glennon that we just alluded to that really does not make a whole lot of sense.
Well, basically not a good day at the office. You know, I think anytime you go out and you have four giveaways in the first half, you know, it's not good news. I think we were down 26-0 at halftime. You know, I thought the guys hung in there in the second half, really in all three phases. Unfortunately, we dug ourselves too big of a hole against a real good football team at their place. And no matter what formula, you know, I think you know, everybody wants to blame somebody, but you know, that was a team defeat, and we all had our hands in it. Any questions?
John, what do you think about Trubisky next week? Quarterback?
No, I don't think anyway, even not even seeing the tape yet, you can pin that on the quarterback. I think, like I said earlier, everybody had their hand in that. Well, I think we got to get better as a football team. That wasn't Mike Glennon Bears. It was the Chicago Bears. It was our whole team. I think, you know, I haven't looked at all the stats and all the exacts, but there's a lot of people that had their hand in it, and we'll leave it at that. Well, I mean, again, if you go to the turnovers, I mean, well, you could call it an interception, but it's basically a sack fumble caught in the air. I'm not sure we ran a real clean route on the outcut. I think one of them was a special teams turnover. Mike wasn't even on the field then. So, yeah, I didn't think our ability to run the ball very effectively in the first half was very good. So I think there was a lot to it. You know, we'll look at it, we'll evaluate it, and we'll move forward.
Was there consideration to put
Lynch in versus not really. You know, I think we got down there, we moved the ball right down the field a couple times, you know, in a hurry-up situation. And, you know, I thought it was a good experience for really everybody. We had a little bit of a makeshift line in there. And, you know, I think Mike commands that pretty well. In a hurry-up situation, and we stayed that way.
And you mentioned that the route that was fixed. Well, what happened there? What did you see?
Well, until we look at the tape, you know, I don't want to get too much into it, but like I said, it's not a one-man game.
How like last year's loss right here.
Yeah, not quite as bad, but not pretty.
I mean, how you still somehow see signs of progress?
Well, I think anytime you play giveaway, you know, and our defense had their hand in it. I mean, there was three times we got them off the field on third down, and you know, we were sloppy with our technique and got called for holding. You know, again, I can't really say that yet. I've not talked to the player, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of guys out there were dealing with a lot.
How serious is the process?
Don't know the exactness of that. Won't know that until we do test. No. That's basically what we had was what was reported. Well, I mean, you got to give a little credit to our opponent. You know, I think, again, there were some poor decisions made, and we paid the price. You know, anytime you play in the NFL and you turn the ball over four times in the first half, that's about what it looks like. Yeah, I mean, I thought he made some good throws. You know, I thought he hung in there. He got hit enough. You know, but I don't think that loss was all about the quarterback. Thank you.
Okay, there it is. Look, I understand why John Fox goes out of his way to defend his players. It's a reason why they love him. But at some point, you're insulting the intelligence of your fan base who are watching these games and are apparently watching a completely different game. We can run through the turnovers. John Fox actually got them a little mixed up as he was trying to explain it. The first interception. It's a quick hit that wasn't there. So the play call was supposed to be a quick pass to Deion Sims, who was supposed to be open based on the play design. Guess what? He wasn't. As the quarterback, it's your job to move on to a different progression. Adam Shaheen was wide open. I don't know if that was the next progression or not, but he was wide open. Okay? The fumble, the whole right side of the line collapsed. Bobby Massey gave up a lot of pressure. Maybe you don't put that on the quarterback. However, Glennon's inability to escape pressure continues to be a storyline and will continue to be a storyline. Then, the pick six. I went back and watched it. What John Fox was talking about with the route, there's some validity to it. Josh Bellamy appeared to beat his man, Robert McClain, but then stumbled out of the break and it disrupted the timing. You still can't make that throw. Anytime you make that out throw, it is a dangerous throw. If it gets picked off, it's almost always a touchdown. And so to take the blame away from Mike Glennon on those plays, it just really misses the mark.
If you're going to fault Jay Cutler for his turnovers and say goodbye to Jay Cutler for his turnovers, fumbles included for lack of ball security, for not tucking it away and not feeling the pressure and all that, you have to fault Mike Glennon for his turnovers, for not protecting the football when the pressure is coming. The Bears say goodbye to him. And you have a guy in his second start who hasn't started in 2 years just stink up the place. He was bad. He was bad. And again, I get why the locker room defended him. I get why John Fox has to defend him. But look, it was, in many ways, it's indefensible because we all saw what happened. Two bad balls. I mean, the Deion Sims one, to me, is almost worse because he was covered and was behind him. Wide open Adam Shaheen. It's, look, if the ceiling was, if Mike Glennon's ceiling was last week, being able to manage yourself into a close game, this could be a very long season for the Bears if they don't even consider making quarterback change.
Well, and that's what I think we were getting at this week, really in our podcast in print, which you can read in the Sun-Times on Wednesday. We continue to do that, so pick up the Sun-Times on Wednesday as our podcast appears in print form. But we discussed that because it was like you didn't. I almost felt bad like piling on Mike Glennon for week one when he was fine. But I think that was the fear, that was kind of the best case scenario. Perhaps today was worst case scenario. But you brought up Jay Cutler. You literally could have paid Jay Cutler less money to do what he did today. We know this because he did what Mike Glennon did today. He did that last year in this same stadium. Three turnovers he was responsible for. Two were interceptions. One was a fumble loss. One of them was a pick six. It was pretty much the exact same performance. And it was one of Cutler's worst performances as a Bear. And it was his second to last game as a Bear. He got hurt the next week in New York. career was over in Chicago. They moved on, and you have to imagine, well, duh, that game here in Tampa was the last straw. That was the last game where Ryan Pace said, okay, we're moving on, we have to. It's time to go sign the quarterback who is on the bench on the opposite sideline in that game for more money than what Jay Cutler would have made this year with the Bears. That's why it's you cannot defend what Mike Glennon did today. It was the same thing, and you're paying him more money. Someone's at fault for that.
I don't know what else to say. It's. I think the frustrating thing is that Mitch Trubisky, the idea wasn't even entertained like for this game. Like I get like if you want to go back to Glennon in week three, you've made a decision to stick with this plan, even if Mitch Trubisky is now your backup and he's no longer your number three. You're going to stick by this choice. I get it. But at some point, John Fox has to realize, and I know Ryan Pace is involved in this decision, so maybe John Fox really has to go to bat for this call. Mitch Trubisky might be your best choice for job security, at least when he's making mistakes on the field. It's growing pains. Mike Glennon's not growing. His ceiling might have been last week. We talked about that. I get the fans' frustration. It's mind-boggling that John Fox wouldn't at least entertain the idea of playing Mr. Trubisky at some point in this game.
Yeah. By the way, there was really only one window I thought where you could have made the switch. That was when it was 17-0. It was 17-0, and you're going, this game's probably over, but if there's any chance, it's putting Trubisky in and he lights up the offense. Gives it some kind of spark. As soon as Glennon goes back out there and then throws the pick six, and it's 23-0 after the Bucs missed the extra point, that was it. It was over. And at that point, you're going, all right, there's no point in putting Trubisky in. If you're going to make a switch, you give him a week to prepare as a starter. This game's out of reach.
Yeah, I made that point on Twitter, too. So maybe I'm just speaking of the fans' frustration. I'm seeing too much of it on Twitter. I've already got emails calling out Fox and Glennon. It was instantaneous even before the game was over. The messages on Twitter, the messages in my inbox, in my work email, ajohns@suntimes.com. Anytime you want, I'm there for you. But
quick point on that, the voicemail inbox, it might be full already. I get the notifications when the voicemails come in. I think we got like 50 voicemails already. 312-222-5050. You can still call in and contribute if you want, and we'll play the best ones on Wednesday. But yeah, a game like this, the voicemails were pouring in.
Well, let me ask you, do you believe Fox – I guess this is the point I was getting to earlier with my comments not too long ago. When it's – before the pick six, you don't think the idea crosses his mind at all? It had to, right?
You hope so. And if it didn't, that's where, look, I was not buying this. I really was not buying the idea in the offseason that John Fox was really on the hot seat. Maybe a little bit, but I didn't really completely buy into that. But the reality is, the last three games, you had that debacle at the end of the Browns preseason game with the way they handled Trubisky that no one wanted to talk about. So pretty obvious that something was not – it was not good for John Fox the way that got handled, okay? Then last week, Tariq Cohen not being on the field, among some other picky things maybe throughout that game, but Cohen not being on the field at the end of the game. Back-to-back games, I thought it was fair to question the coaching, and this coming from a guy who wasn't really buying into the John Fox hot seat stuff. Then you have today, I mean, you're punting. It's 4th-and-2 at midfield. You're down 23-0. What are you doing punting? I mean, there's stuff like that. That just doesn't make sense. So if he really was not even considering putting in the other quarterback when it was 17-0, then you have to question that. It's only fair.
I think you're right in saying, and again, putting him in when you're down by that many scores with a banged-up offensive line, it's not ideal for your rookie. You don't want to expose him to serious injury. Mike Glennon did get banged around. But he does so many different things, Mr. Trubisky, for your offense, and just in terms of his physical abilities. But look, when the Browns start DeShone Kizer, what does Hugh Jackson say? It gives us hope. Yeah. You might need this now. It's only two games, and like John Fox says, crisis or carnival, you know, people get carried away. But we've seen this before. We've covered this before. Trubisky is different. He would give this team hope.
The other problem, and I alluded to this in my post-game column, is that with every bad Mike Glennon game, the benefit of the doubt with the quarterback situation starts to creep away. And what I'm talking about is this idea that you're just sort of trusting Ryan Pace's plan to develop him. Because Pace is just as much on the hook for the evaluation of Glennon as he is Trubisky. Trubisky will ultimately impact his job security more. Sure. But both of those are quarterback decisions made by the general manager. You paid Mike Glennon $18.5 million guaranteed. That matters. So, with every bad Glennon game performance, it's fair then to question what the plan is for Trubisky, that they're really seeing the same, because it's just questionable. It, unfortunately, is just that way. All right, I wanted to play Glennon too, because as much as John Fox dismissed the idea that in any way this was Mike Glennon's fault today, Glennon took responsibility. Good for him. I was just impressed, by the way, with the way he addressed the media confidently. Doesn't shy away. Continues to be that way, considering the situation he's in and how he really hasn't performed all that well going back to the start of the preseason. I'm at least impressed with that. So here's what Mike Glennon had to say after the game, including going into some detail about the turnovers.
Yeah, obviously not what I had envisioned or hoped. Ultimately, it shows how precious taking care of the football is. Four turnovers in the first half, not going to win many football games. Three of those fall on me, and ultimately I have to do a better job taking care of the football and giving us a chance to win. The first one was just kind of a quick game concept that we've run a good amount, and Quan just broke on the play. Second one, receiver kind of turned around the nickel a little bit, so I thought when he broke out that he was going to win. Obviously, not the case. Need to move on in my progression and avoid those situations.
What do you need to see on pick six to make that decision?
I think if I'm not 100% sure he's going to win, then just move on. There was another guy, the second read in the progression was open, and if he's not winning right away, then I need to get off him and move on the progression.
What was the second read there?
It was just a guy coming on a little, shallow cross. That was no excuse at all. That was Kendall Wright, who I run that route. That was Josh Bellamy, guy that I've gotten a lot of work with. That's not an excuse at all.
Like you mentioned, coming down here being kind of extra motivational. What was your frustration
about the way things got slow? Like I said, obviously not what I envisioned, but it wasn't a revenge game at all for me. It wasn't, it wasn't like I pressed at all. It was just, three bad plays were costly. Other than that, we moved the ball well. It's just we didn't put ourselves in a situation to really compete in the game, and that falls on me.
No. A lot of guys in there talked about your message to them at halftime on the sidelines. What was your teammates' message to you during the game?
Just keep fighting. Don't. Next play, it starts with one completion and we'll go from there. So, it was good to fight all the way till the end. I don't think our guys, gave up. Our offense line did a real good job in that situation when they know we're passing on every play and not give up any sacks. So, our guys fought. And that was good to see. I was in the middle of trying to throw it, I'll see it on film, see if I could have moved in the pocket a little differently, maybe got the ball out of my hands a little quicker. I'm not sure. I was trying to kind of move around and get the ball out of my hands on that play.
I know you've been really good. You took everything out. You obviously keep that focus. But are you worried at all that moving forward, Fox might consider a change?
No, there's been no communication of that, so there's no reason to worry about it.
Like, what was the difficulty factor trying to come back with your starting guard full-time
of the game? Like I said, I think those guys did a really good job stepping in with Ronis and Bradley. The one, positive I guess you could take from that second half was we didn't give up. Our receivers were battling. Offensive line was battling. Like I said, that's a tough situation for an offensive lineman to be in. Bradley, first time I think ever playing guard, and the defense knows you're passing on every play. So I'm proud of those guys and appreciate everything they did.
From what you can tell, was there more attention paid to Tariq this time week because of the great game ahead against the Bills?
I think so. I think they notice him. You know, there was one time where there was a nickel matched up on him, where last week it might have been a linebacker. There was even one play where Brent Grimes was on him. So, you know, we'll see how teams handle him going forward.
Were you able to use him in a variety of ways again today like you did last week, or was it
similar? Yeah, I think we were. It's just we got ourselves in a situation where we were down so much, and we kind of just had to go to our two-minute offense where, you know, that's not really what we do. We just have to, you know, get ourselves to be part, you know, in the game and giving us a chance to run our full offense. Yeah, I think we just have to, you know, regroup and move on to Pittsburgh. I mean, there's nothing we can do to change this game now. All we can do is learn from our mistakes, build on what we did good, and, you know, get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to Chicago. We had four
turnovers.
We had a turnover on their, I don't know, 5-yard line or so. We had a pick six and another, you know, we just didn't put our team in a good situation to succeed. And, you know, that falls on me and got to clean that up. Yeah, I thought that was good for Tanner to step up. I think, you know, had a couple catches there at the end, and it was good to see, you know, right off the bench, hopped in, kind of in a two-minute drill, and made a couple plays against a Pro Bowl corner. So that was good to see.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Okay, so you're hearing there some of the things we alluded to earlier, talking about the quick hitter to Deion Sims on the first interception, the second interception. He thought Josh Bellamy was going to be open. Looking at that replay, I could see why he thought that. I mean, Bellamy did appear to have his man beat on the outcut, but stumbled a little bit. However, if the throw is where it's supposed to be and the man was beat, then it shouldn't be picked off. And the throw just cannot be made there. And Glennon took responsibility for that. You go on to your next progression.
He's missing wide-open guys, though. We saw it with the Shaheen. Well, the Sims interception threw it behind Deion Sims. Adam Shaheen is a wide-open in the right flat. But then there was the instances in garbage time where he's throwing over the middle, but Tariq Cohen's wide open in the right flat. This is in garbage time, and he can't find the open guy. It took him three times in the red zone to find the end zone in garbage time. The Bucs just want to get out of here healthy. That's all they're focusing on at this point. Soft cover, some backups are in. The defensive line rotation is different. It's almost maddening. I get that he did some good things last week against the Falcons. We're talking about Glennon again. But the inability to not build off it and to really throw this game away with two interceptions, to fumble it away as well, it's not only frustrating for him to not get that revenge game in, even though he didn't want that storyline to exist. He's the reason. He knew it. He's the reason they lost today. He knew it.
Right, which was last week we were saying Glennon was not the reason why they lost. But there was enough there to question if Trubisky could have won that game. Today it was just, this was on Glennon. However, I will say the one fair point they do have that this wasn't completely on Glennon, and it never is. There's certainly other things that happen. And defense kept committing penalties on third down. That was a problem. But the Tariq Cohen muffed punt was an enormous play in this game. And led to a 10-0 Bucs lead when it was just 3-0 at the time. And you were getting the ball back after another defensive stop. It was a huge moment in the game. And a play that just cannot happen. I don't know what Cohen was thinking at that moment. He doesn't have a whole lot of experience returning punts. But that being said, that's punt return 101.
It could be a case of a rookie feeling really good about himself. Yeah. And he should feel really good about himself. Not in this game, but coming out of that last game, I mean, he was their best player against the Falcons, but inexplicable. I'm sure he's going to get reamed out in film study, in the film review in the coming days. Not a good look for him, but he's a rookie. Rookies are going to make mistakes. You need your veterans to overcome that, and I just keep getting back to the point. A good quarterback can help you overcome a lot of deficiencies on your football team, can help you overcome a lot of mistakes, but when he becomes part of that deficiency, you're in for some major woes.
All right, let's get to our players of the game. I'm assuming these are going to come on the Bucs side here. I'll start. Here's one of the problems that I have with the way the Bears lost this game. I didn't think Jameis Winston was outstanding. He was just sort of okay today. I thought he missed some throws. There was at least one touchdown he could have had that he threw high. 18 of 30, 204 yards and a touchdown. I mean, just a sort of a, it's not like Tom Brady threw all over you today and you didn't really have a chance. For my player of the game, I'll go with Gerald McCoy. I thought he was pretty disruptive in the middle. Four hits on the quarterback, no sacks, but that shows you how disruptive he was. He also had a tackle for loss. He's just a beast and a problem. And the Bears had a bunch of shuffling on the offensive line today with injuries, which we can get into in a little bit, but they really never had an answer for McCoy, and I thought that led to some of the pressure. So to me, he was the best player on the field.
I don't think there was a player of the game. They didn't need anybody to be exceptional. Can I use that as a cop-out? Is that okay? I mean, they didn't need anybody to be special or their best player in this instance because Mike Glennon was their best player. Is that too rough?
No, it's fair. That's how bad the Bears were today. I mean, they really – you can't turn the ball over four times in the first half and expect to win. I tweeted this early in the game. They would not have beaten the Browns today, let alone the Bucs, playing the way they did. They lost this game.
Yeah. It all goes back to the quarterback. I think I might be obsessed with the guy, but it's only because, again, number two pick is on the bench. He can make plays that Mike Glennon can't, and I think you need that big play-making ability in your offense right now for your team. Again, it goes back to hope. So there's my answer. Mike Glennon was the best player on the field for the Bucs today.
I like it. All right, biggest concern other than the quarterback situation. The injuries are going crazy again. It's ridiculous. You had Kwiatkowski, who we kind of celebrated all week. All right, now is his time. He's taking over for Joel Freeman, who tore his pec. We're talking about a handful of plays into the game, pec injury for Nick Kwiatkowski. And you just hope that's not torn or he's going to be done. Josh Sitton, a rib injury that he couldn't come back in the game. Tom Compton, he had a hip injury early, could not come back in the game. That resulted in Grissou coming in at center. Cody Whitehair played three different positions on the offensive line today. Danny Trevathan came out. He told me he was feeling weary, whatever that means. Akeem Hicks looked like he was knocked out cold at one point. He talked to us after the game, though, seemed a lot better. So at least that's, you know, not a completely serious situation. But Jordan Howard, something to continue to watch, came into this game with a shoulder injury, left this game with his right arm in a sling. For all we know, he could have had a sling last week, too, at times. But he didn't get a carry in the second half, part of that because the Bears were losing by so much. But also, clearly, that shoulder is a problem and something to watch going forward for your number one running back.
Yeah, not good. I know people are trying to make connections between the injuries, and yeah, I guess there. I mean, is there any similarities between them? I don't know. It's a physical game. Guys are going to get hurt. You could question their health and fitness programs, all that stuff. When you have torn ACLs, broken scapulas, and rib injuries, when guys the injuries are all over the board, so you question. I think the overall durability of this team and how they're built and how they're physically able to withstand football because it's such a violent game. But look, to me, the Jordan Howard injury is definitely problematic. You don't need your starting running back in a sling. The Kwiatkowski thing is definitely disconcerting. I thought he was having a very good game. Four tackles on the Bucs' game-opening drive. He was all over the field. He was flying around, as people like to say. He was calling the defensive plays. Very good start, and obviously he's going to be another big loss. He was starting material, I thought, so just, it's awful luck for the Bears. Really, these injuries just continue to mount and mount and mount. And I don't think they're related anyway. It's just the sport of football. But the awful luck is definitely something that continues on.
Yeah, the Kwiatkowski one I think really stinks because that's a young player who you thought could take over and really start to blossom in a starting role. And clearly Vic Fangio trusts him by putting the headset in his helmet today. And to call the defensive signals on the field, and that just didn't last long. It looked like my bold prediction might come true for the second straight week with all those tackles early. But how can you lead your team in tackles if you're not playing. Although, maybe we should double check. The way the Bears played the rest of the game, maybe he still didn't leave. I'm just kidding.
Well, I made a note about this in the 3-and-out thing I did in the for the paper. It's never a good sign when the members of your secondary, three of them, lead your team in tackles. That means the opposition is spending a lot of time making big plays against you. Your safeties were leading your leading tacklers, Quinton Demps, and Eddie Jackson was actually your leader, and then Marcus Cooper was number three. Not good for the Bears.
Yeah, that's not good. I think that's a good way to summarize this entire game in Tampa. Very concerning. These were the games that were not – I'll end this podcast the same way we started. This was not supposed to happen in 2017. You're not supposed to have these games where you just – you're flat, uninspired, unprepared, not good. Not good for John Fox's job security going forward. So maybe that's my biggest takeaway. All this talk about the hot seat in the offseason, these are the kind of the games that get coaches fired. I'm not saying that's going to happen this week. I'm just saying when you get to the end of the year and you look at this kind of stuff, like this was a Mark Trestman-like kind of situation today that you can't let it repeat itself. Then it starts to snowball, as we saw a few years ago with Trestman. So it'll be very interesting to see how they come out next week against the Steelers.
Well, quarterback situations lead to change. History says that. He's got to manage it the right way. And I know Ryan Pace is thoroughly involved, and I think his job is actually very secure compared to the precarious situation that Fox is now in. But look, when your quarterback is struggling like this and you have somebody that talented on the bench who could be better, if the players start seeing this and they start to feel that this is a throwaway season and that Mike Glennon is being trotted out there and the turnovers continue to add up and his problems continue to add up and they start to sense that this is just a thrown-away season, you lose your locker room. That's how you lose your job.
That's a good point. And by the way, I asked John Fox before the first game, why is Mike Glennon give you the best chance to win the game? And he said that he earned it, and the players see that. He's the one who referenced what you just talked about. The players know who should be on the field, and you just have to wonder when they're going to realize that the wrong quarterback's playing and how long that's going to take. And as you just said, you lose the locker room, you lose your job. John Fox needs to be mindful of that. This is going to be an interesting week at House Hall. All right, we got to get out of here. Another year in Tampa, another loss, but man, I understand the frustration from Bears fans. We'll be back on Wednesday with a full episode, kind of with more context from Hallis Hall. Looking forward to next week's game against the Steelers. Also, make sure you check out our podcast in print in Wednesday's edition of the Chicago Sun-Times. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us. ChicagoSunTimes.com, WGNRadio.com/Bears. That's where our post-game columns are up right now. And you still have time to leave some voicemails, 312-222-5050. We'll have those in Wednesday's episode as well.
Looking forward to those. I feel like our guy Joey Romano is going to have to hit the bleep button a few times.
He has a lot to sort through this week. He'll have fun with it, and we know it'll be good. All right, let's get out of here. Again, follow us. And subscribe on iTunes if you don't already. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. You can also find it on TuneIn and the WGN Radio app. Download that if you haven't already. We'll get out of here from Tampa. We'll talk to you back in Chicago on Wednesday. And, boy, this is going to be an interesting week in Lake Forest.